Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? The man is a force. He is still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. But what's mind-blowing is that he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than the guys half his age. It is all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and down it. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Rob, you're liking it, right?
Yeah, I'm taking it. Robert's taking it. We both love it. And as someone who loves lemonade, it does taste like strawberry lemonade. Every day I take it, my digestion is smoother. I have energy. I feel younger. It's great stuff.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/TMOS for up to 44% off your regular priced order. And remember, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/TMOS today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
They are going to honor the kids that were involved in the character council. And
what character did he do again? Was it Arnold?
He gets up there and he's actually doing a mean Christopher Walken. I say,
I'll be damned if they're going to put me on character council.
As I always say about Rob, bitch can cook.
That's right, Mike. Some of these days, she's going to realize what a good wife she has.
I like the smell of cow manure.
Just to understand how my house is, it's a narrow townhouse, right? And then there's a deck at the back. And then at the basement level, there's a patio under the deck. So
and razor wire.
And, of course, razor wire and landmines. So just stay off the grass. Please.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Man, a little something in my chest today. Hope I'm not getting bird flu.
I hope so too, Mike.
I know you do. I appreciate that.
No one wants the bird flu.
Yeah. I can't wait till Josh comes down here and I have normal lighting. That'll be a... But I'm such a dope.
Mike, if you do have bird flu, make sure you send out a tweet.
Right out of the gate, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm reading today about raw milk. So this bird flu was detected in dairy herds. Oh, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
I didn't say that. Where are my manners? highly contagious bird flu detected in dairy herds in Texas and Kansas in March. It has since spread to farms in 9 states, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In addition to Texas and Kansas, H5N1. That sounds sinister. Isn't that a combination of letters and numbers that sounds real evil, doesn't it?
You know what? I think we've had that in the news before.
H5N1.
Sounds like
I always thought it was H1N1.
That's a different flu. I think that's dog flu.
It's been found in dairy cattle in Michigan, New Mexico, Idaho, Colorado, Ohio,
North Carolina, and South Dakota. While the virus has not been detected in Pennsylvania dairy herds, the transmission from birds to cattle is causing concerns for Pennsylvania farmers. And apparently they are worried about people, and this is why I wanted to talk about this, who consume raw milk.
Yeah.
So raw milk. What do you know about raw milk, Rob Spiewak?
I believe here is my my dossier on raw milk. It is
you're a
milk.
Farmer.
Well, yeah, but we were never dairy, and I never dealt with cows. Now I have milked a cow, but we didn't have them like on our property.
Did you
not
have
even
a cow at least?
No,
on
not
your
even.
Farm?
And you know what? Come to think on it, I don't even think that there was a cow in play when my mom was little. I think they were past cows at that point.
So back in the day, though, way in the ancient history of the Spiewak clan?
Well, no, this is actually the Stallcup clan.
The Stallcups, I know.
Yeah, so when, like, Big Daddy was little, they had the farm, and then there was cows and horses and chickens and all that stuff. And then eventually they
old
go to the horses.
Old Big Daddy had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on his farm he had a cow, E-I-E-I-O, with a bird flew here and a bird flew there, here a hack, there a hack, everywhere a hack.
Well, if you're singing the Elvis version of Old MacDonald, the clue to the cow is hamburger medium rare.
Hamburger medium rare. Old Big Daddy had a cow, E-I-E-I-O. And on that cow, he had a bird, E-I-E-I-O.
So the cow had a bird on it. Yeah, chicken, frigatee.
Old Mike O'Mara rode his car, E-I-E-I-O. And on his car, he gave the bird, E-I-E-I-O. With a flip flip here and a flip flip there, here a flip, there a flip, everywhere a flip flip. Sorry.
There were none. Sorry. There were none cows. They did have horses though, but they were mostly used for pulling the plows and stuff like that.
Oh, this
Charlie,
is like this back is long, when the U.S. the Hatfields, the McCoys, and the Stallcups.
Yeah, and they were blowing stumps out of the ground with dynamite and shooting neighbors. But as far as raw milk, here's what I know, or I think I know. It is milk fresh from the teat.
That you can drink from the spigot.
Like, that you can eat. But it is not processed. It's
I'd
not
try
pasteurized.
That.
It is just pure milk that is unpasteurized and not, processed. And I also think raw milk is not legal in the United States. I don't think it's legal to have it.
It's not legal in all the states.
Okay. Is it legal in Mississippi?
Huh?
Is it legal in Mississippi? If
I'm not
I had
sure.
to guess a state, that would be the one. But and don't drink milk from the teat. That's it's. I don't think it's hygienic. And if you've ever seen,
I disagree.
Really?
I totally disagree.
Tom Green did it. It was a big deal for him. Remember?
I wrote this down. I said, everyone's a doctor, right?
Right.
Everyone's a doctor. The way I get it though is that infections were more common by drinking raw milk than they were when it started to be pasteurized.
Of course.
And isn't that a soft word? Isn't that like one of George Carlin's soft words?
Pasteurized.
Where they basically, you boil, don't you?
Bring it to a certain temperature to kill all bacteria. It was invented by Louis Pasteur. That's why it's named that.
Oh, I thought it was, pasteurized was just a nice word. Well, then, is that any relation to pasture?
No.
Because
no,
cows
no.
live in a pasture.
No, Mike, I don't think so. Louis Pasteur was
good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Idiot Tuesday on the Mike O'Mara Show, Idiot Tuesday, where we
He's
talk
a Frenchman.
About things we don't know about. What?
He was a Frenchman.
I gathered that, ass. I understand that.
Well, you're the one that's asking if
Louis
it has
Pasteur.
To do. You're asking if it has to do with a pasture. Don't
I didn't
call
realize
me ass.
That was the connection of pasture and Pasteur was done like that.
He
but
used
the bottom
to work
line
with
is,
he worked with Harvey Milk, and they invented the process.
He did not. Harvey Milk was a gay activist in San Francisco.
You're
right.
I'm sorry. I got my
the mayor. Crossed. Was he not the mayor of San Francisco?
I know he was an activist. I don't know of his rank.
Well, why don't you find that out?
I shall.
Find out what he did. I don't know. There was a movie about him. Milk.
Yes, it was called Milk. That much we know.
But raw milk is, is bad to because you can get a disease.
Yeah, I kind of equate. The people that do raw milk are the people that eat like almond butter and bone marrow broth.
No, I eat almond butter. That's you are insulting the people who consume almond butter that's perfectly good and, you know, perfectly healthy. And
Harvey
you know,
Milk just, was on the board of supervisors.
He was not the mayor.
Not the mayor, no.
Okay. But just for those of you that are concerned, the transmission goes from birds to cattle. And I guess it's difficult with dairy farmers having this. And just for the raw milk people, if you even wanted raw milk, where would one go to get raw milk? You know what I mean? Would you just
some
go
underhanded dairy farmer?
You just go out to the dairy and say, I want it fresh from the teat?
Probably. I mean, but then if it's
extra
illegal,
warm
body temperature, Mike, a cow's a mammal. The milk would come out at 98.6 degrees. There's a gross expression.
I like my pasteurized, homogenized, green-wise. Do you have green-wise in the stores up there, or is that a Publix product?
That's a Publix product. We have Lucerne.
Green-wise, 2% low-fat milk that I probably why I gained a little weight. I had a bowl of cereal over the weekend. That's when you know that I'm flirting with getting my fat on when I have a bowl of cereal. And the 2%... was really just delicious.
Yeah,
really,
you know, 2% doesn't cut it for me.
The raw milk is more common outside of the United States.
Josh, let's see you. Let's see the great and powerful Oz.
Oh, there he is. Good morning, Josh.
Hi, so, Josh.
I have had raw milk.
You have?
I've had it in Zambia. It tastes like milk. You just boil it first. They boil it to get rid of all the
so you buy the raw milk and then you essentially pasteurize it yourself.
I was in Africa, so it was you go out, you get the cow.
Would you do a mission trip over there?
Yeah, I went and helped some missionaries out there.
That's kind of cool.
Running a conference.
I did a mission trip to Haiti one time for my friends Bill and Debbie down there, who are still dealing with the S show that is Haiti right now, which is, and I feel for them. And tomorrow, make a note, it's no longer HHA. I will get the information about that if you'd
great.
To help
good
them
people.
Out because they're wonderful, wonderful people. And he's a good friend who I've known for many, many, many moons. But you've had raw milk and any discernible difference between? Did you drink it cold or fresh from the tea?
No, well, that's what I was saying. The safe way to handle raw milk is you take it straight from the cow, you boil it, and then you chill it in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
So the boiling gets rid of all the bacteria.
Now, question, because Mike also mentioned that his milk is homogenized, which means it's treated so it doesn't separate.
Well, I don't know I just knew that word.
Because,
so
like,
I was just
trying to
be smart.
In days of old, you could skim the cream off the top. That's where the phrase comes from. And so by homogenizing it, the milk
doesn't
separate.
That's what I did when I found you, Rob Spiewak.
Don't be a jerk.
I skim the cream off the top.
That's right. That's a good. We're having fun, aren't we?
I'm no expert on milk, but it did taste like a whole milk. It was thick.
Did it separate though? Was it, or did you have to stir it?
I don't know. Other people
open up into a larger.
He boiled it before it got a chance to separate, so the cream boiled itself into the milk.
I don't know if that's how you homogenize it.
I don't know if I homogenized it, but pasteurizing it is boiling it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know that for a fact?
It's raising it to a certain temperature so that all bacteria is dead.
Louis Pasteur.
Yeah, I don't know the temperature, though. But it would have to be pretty warm if it's coming out at 98. You know, there's a gross expression in the South, Mike, when it's a really gross hot day outside. They say, "Whoo, it's hot as fresh milk out there." Isn't that gross? Yeah.
Oh, so it's almost hot when it comes out.
Yeah, they use it in the movie Psycho. Hot as fresh milk out there.
Hot as fresh milk. That is kind of nasty.
That is
gross. But it doesn't stink because it's fresh.
No,
but
it doesn't
stink. If you take milk and
you
let
know
it
what
set,
does stink is the cow that you're getting it from.
Not always.
Yeah,
my grandfather
pretty much
called
always.
That a my grandfather called that a good healthy smell. When we go by the field with manure, I like the smell of cow manure. I do. I'm sorry. There we go. I do. Like if you're in a summertime, you go by a field. I hate cow poo. Is not bad to my olfactories.
What about dogs?
Dog, I'll throw up. And I have to pick dog up every day.
I know you do.
Chicken, might be the worst of all. I was behind a chicken truck on the eastern shore of Maryland, and I thought I was going to throw up. And pig not far behind it either.
Pig is bad. Well, remember when you used to drive on Route 50 by the Purdue plant?
Yes.
You'd smell it coming and you smell it leaving.
Well, there are chicken ranches all over the eastern shore of the great state of Maryland.
And in Reno.
And in...
that's what they call it.
Oh, that's the whorehouse.
That's right.
But thank you for that.
It made Josh laugh.
Those smelled fine.
You know, we've been to one.
To an extent. There was kind of a cleaner smell, that you right?
Yeah, if you're familiar.
Josh just dropped off. Gone. We always know when he's lost interest, he just backs out of the show.
No, I like to disappear so the like, share, subscribe, and the text and all looks better on the screen.
I totally understand that. That's
I'll adjust
fine.
My video so I am out of the way of that stuff in the future.
Very good.
Back to the whorehouse, Mike. If you're familiar with, it's sort of an
off-brand. It wasn't the chicken ranch. It was the bunny ranch.
Yes, but there is the chicken ranch is from the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, I believe. Is that what they call the place?
But I also think there's a real chicken ranch, too. Yeah. Maybe.
If you're familiar with a slightly off-brand cleaner called Fabuloso, that's kind of the way.
They sell that. They sell tons of that crap down here.
That's the kind of the way the bunny ranch smelled. It was overtly clean, I think.
Yeah, clean like in we want cleaning products that are going to not only clean but deodorize, which is gross.
Mike,
you really get into the weeds about it.
The word in the business was cut the smell.
Towels.
Great kitchen though. The guy that made us you weren't there for the setup. You see, we had to be there early to set up the broadcast, and we did a live show on Valentine's. Was it? No, it was Mother's Day. It was a Mother's Day show.
Give people the history so they know what we're talking about.
We did a Mother's Day show at, or it might have been Valentine's Day that we called Mother's, but there was a holiday that we did a live broadcast at Dennis Hoff's Bunny Ranch. It might have been the first time we encountered him, which is Reno adjacent, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's because you can't have legal prostitution in Reno. Oof. So we went out to the actual facility and through the gate and did a live broadcast from there and met some of the ladies. I spent a whole day there and they have an on-site cook. And he said, what would you like for breakfast? And I said, oh, anything's fine. He says, bacon, eggs, and toast? I said, yeah. And he cooked it to order. It was fantastic, like having a short order cook. Because those girls, Mike, they need the food for energy.
He was paid exclusively in Usipe.
That's right. It's exactly right. And no, I remember looking
can
at
Can I
the,
tell you my memory? This and I've told this story a million times.
Okay.
So we go out, and there is a titillating factor that goes along with that. You know, you're going to do a broadcast from a bordello, from a house of ill repute, from a whorehouse, from a ranch out there in Nevada. And there was a little of that going in. I would be lying if I didn't say I was kind of erotically intrigued by it.
Yeah, you definitely want to see what's going on in there because I had never been. Right.
You get out there and... You know, I wasn't planning on, utilizing the services of the ranch, and I don't think any of our crew did when we were out there.
Who was our engineer then?
Was that the late Wendell Hall?
No, that was a Daryl operation, I think.
Oh, did Daryl utilize?
I can't, it's foggy.
We might have done it on the air. So, Daryl, why don't you go down the hall or something?
I think so.
There's a lot of time. It was back in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. Things good. But the memory I had after I got out there was that, A, the erotic fantasy factor of that ranch dissipated pretty quickly because you get out there and, I think if you're a 21-year-old, it's a little different than when you're a grown-up. I really do. I think there are people that it depends on the individual. But then we started doing the phone calls to moms.
Yes.
And it was a bit, it was a joke. And I'm really, really being honest here when I say pull back the curtain and say, as we did it, and I was a relatively young guy at that point.
Yeah.
I felt the same feeling I would get when I would walk into a restaurant and you would see somebody eating alone. And that feeling is
so dead on.
That empathy of what happened to them where they are in this situation, and one of the girls got to call her mom on our show and started crying. Do you remember that?
Like it was yesterday. That's the one. That is one of the main things. Yeah, I remember.
It went from here we are. We're going to have the erotic, live broadcast from a whorehouse to, at least in our minds, we moved by it rather quickly.
Yeah.
But I realized this was just sad.
It was
Man, this was sad.
It was
and
sad.
It was really overwhelmingly a moment that what was your, people have asked me, what was it like doing that? I said, that's what happened. That's why, because suddenly we went from every possible angle of doing a broadcast from this place, the comedy angle.
Right.
Was it Dennis's, Dennis Hoff's place?
It was Dennis's place.
I think it was Dennis Hoff's place, too. It just became the awareness that really you can't paint with broad strokes all the time, but there were a lot of people that were there for probably not the best reasons, and it was sad, and maybe they weren't happy, all of them, for being in that situation, because there's the stigma and the embarrassment and all that stuff for doing
and
that for a living.
Then we were given a tour, and I think it might have just been a mic check. I don't know that we actually toured the rooms on the air.
We did, I think. I think
okay,
we did,
because I remember seeing them. But yeah. It was...
It's like dorm, like a dorm in a trailer.
Mike,
that's what it
precisely
was.
Precisely what it was like. It was like a dorm setup. It couldn't have been any less elegant. It was so...
A room with a bed.
That was off-putting to me, too. It was so utilitarian. Just, I mean, I don't know what I was hoping for.
Now, if
expecting.
You're loaded with alcohol and you're, you're young, dumb, and... You know what I mean? And
sure.
You get out there and or you're somebody that's lonely, and that's the only way. I get it. I totally understand it. I think that it would probably be – I've always believed this, that if it was more widespread, you'd probably have less people being, getting in trouble. And,
I agree.
I've always been a believer. You know,
all
everybody
sex
has
is
needs.
Stigmatized. It's stigmatized in the United States, so it
causes
troubles.
Yeah, but that's what I came away thinking, and it went from me like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're doing a show from this place, to, okay, let's look at these women that are in this place. Well, she's hot.
Yeah.
No, she's not. And then, the show begins, and the show was the show. It was weird. It was a weird
Very
vibe
strange.
And not what I – caught me totally by surprise and made me realize that sometimes that old empathy bug will jump up and bite you in the ass when you least expect it. You know what I mean?
I do think that was – and we used to, back in those days, the Don and Mike Show days, we did a lot of traveling and a lot of stunt shows like that.
Right.
And I think that was the most surprising and the most likely to just have been something we did not expect.
I think men in general, when the little one is thinking for the big one, probably put a lot of that empathy stuff aside.
Yeah.
And don't clue in with it. Make no mistake that we were all in our periods of time where, we were vital and thinking and perhaps still are. But at that particular moment, the fact that we were outside observers and we were observing in our own way from afar put it in a different light. And it was it caught me by. I felt weird about it. I felt bad about it. I didn't like it. I didn't
like
it. I wanted to get the hell out of there. I
really so glad to put a button on that and get out of there. That was.
I really was. It was just it didn't. It didn't feel really, really, really cool.
But the bacon was good. Just so you know.
I remember you were all about that. I remember I probably mocked you for that. I said,
I'm sure
you're in this place and you're thinking about bacon. For the love of God.
Mike, I was newly married. Bacon was all I was allowed to think of.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, and we were all in, I think I may have been in between or not. I have no idea. I know I didn't partake.
Can we light up the tote board, please?
Yes, I did not partake.
No, none of us did.
And then later on, people did, right?
Yeah.
That night, some people went out there and, nobody
and then,
really.
And then we famously sent Wendell out.
Or did we? Yeah. Or did we send Dennis Murphy?
We sent Dennis out as well.
Yeah.
But I believe
to enjoy the legal prostitution of Nevada.
I think the late Wendell Hall, who was a magnificent engineer and a good guy, the thing that upset me most is when we got him back from the place. He said,
"You're going to gross me out." I remember he said something gross. He did,
no,
right?
This is not the gross thing. This is the upsetting thing.
Okay.
He said, "I realized after the fact I had spent the entire evening with her that the one I chose looked a lot like Carrie Spiewak." I said, wow.
That's a good segue, too. That's a perfect
you?
Segue.
Yeah.
That is an absolutely perfect segue because we did the cocktail party on Saturday night, and we were really happy with everybody that jumped in and paid attention, and thank you for that. And the biggest surprise I had when we all connected on Saturday evening was you were there and your wife was not there, and when I asked you about it, you said kind of a last-minute thing that she had planned on it, and then,
When we went to bed Friday night before a Saturday broadcast, it was confirmed. And then
And you also said then for your Mother's Day that things did not go well on that. So we're talking about a Saturday and a Sunday.
One, two, boom, boom, like
now,
that.
Now, as far as the – I understood because I asked you about it on the cocktail party show. She had a was it a last-minute work thing or
a last-minute work babysitting thing, but – Carrie is not good at the word no. Sometimes she's great at no, but this at point she wasn't, and so she was not in the house to do it. And I texted her several times. I said, you know, we've teased this that you're going to be there. I'm going to look like a dick because I promised you. The listeners love you. You are great on these shows.
She adds a lot of honesty to it, and she doesn't have a filter, which makes for interesting conversations.
And I know the guy that she was babysitting for, and he's really low maintenance. I've babysat for this guy before. And I said, you know, you could just
do this guy, what is he, 20?
He's 19. He's a special needs kid. He's a good kid.
All right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I mean, it's fine. Right. But right. His name is Max. He's a great guy. But he needs to have a grown-up around him.
I understand.
And so I said to Carrie, I said, if you're just going to be with Max, it's not a really an intensive babysitting regimen. Why don't you bop in on your phone? Just say hi. I think a lot of people would love to see you.
And when did this conversation happen?
This was about 5 o'clock on
a couple hours before we did the show.
Maybe even earlier than that, the afternoon.
I get it.
And she says, no, I don't have any makeup on. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm just busy working and I can't do it. And I kind of told her on the text. I was as confrontational as I get. I said, you know, you can't say you're going to do something and then not do it, especially when it has to do with my job and our way, the way we make a living. This is, I know that it's oftentimes easily to dismiss the job we do. It's you goofing off in the basement, but it is a real job and it did buy this house and I need you to take it seriously. And so with that, I went to bed and didn't talk to her until the morning and got up, and it was Mother's Day, and I came down, and I said, you know what? This needs to be addressed ultimately, but I'm not going to ruin her Mother's Day over it. I'm going to be a good guy. And I said, good morning, happy Mother's Day. And she said, happy Mother's Day. And Robert was up, and it was nice. All three of us were down there.
And you were planning on doing, like, a whole landscape thing around your house.
I'm getting into this. And so I made them a breakfast. They were both delighted with it. She was absolutely happy. I said, what do you want for dinner? She says, the only thing I want.
For breakfast, did you make whorehouse bacon and eggs?
I did not make whorehouse bacon and eggs. I made a Mexican omelet, which was very well received. So it was taco meat and tomatoes and cheese and served with salsa. So anyway, she was delighted with that. She did have a easy babysitting gig that day.
I don't know why I played that.
You would like it. It was fine.
Mexican omelet time.
And I said, what would you like for dinner? She said, anything you want. I said, it's a special Mother's Day dinner.
Anything.
Anything you want. She said, choose something that you guys would like that I would like, but I do want one thing.
What? That confused me, what you just said.
She
do
said,
something, what?
She said, do something that you and Robert would like that I would also like. You know okay. me. But yeah. she, the one thing she specifically...
She doesn't want to think. Carla's like that sometimes. She doesn't want to make the decision. You handle it. That's the
part
relief
of the gift.
That she gets.
Part right. of the gift. So the only thing she requested by name is she wanted me to make a homemade banana pudding for her for Mother's Day. Now, this is not a back-breaking dish. Why would you say that about banana pudding?
Fun. It's just there, and I'm playing it. I don't know why.
But it is. There's several aspects to it. You have to do something I hate, which is tempering custard. Don't like doing that. You have to make
Old
meringue.
Old MacDonald had a nana pudding time for me.
I made my famous Mike. It was delicious. My raw milk banana pudding. And it was just tasty as can be.
As I always say about Rob, bitch can cook.
That's right, Mike. Some of these days, she's going to realize what a good wife she has.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I went down, and after breakfast, I said, so, did you see the surprise? And she says, what? And I said, oh, and then before I could say, she says, oh, the fact that you and Robert went out and got the mulch I like. Yeah, I assume you're going to be mulching for Mother's Day? I said, yes.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I understand what's going on here, and I have a point I'd like to make.
Please.
You had said last week that when you were preparing your Mother's Day and the way you were going to do it is that you were going to, you and Robert on Saturday were going to do a bunch of yard work and paint some stuff on the deck and have the
Actually,
entire outside
Actually, it was
Sunday
we were going to do it, but we prepped on
Well,
Saturday.
No, but you, I thought...
No, you okay. said it.
Whether you said it or not, but
we
but
spoke
I mean,
about this.
Okay, wanted, go ahead. Refresh my memory, Josh.
Rob and Robert wanted to be seen doing the work.
Right. And so what happened is on Saturday to make, and she didn't know we were going
to Let's address that, though. You okay. wanted to be seen doing the work, don't well, you think?
She wouldn't see me because Robert did the mulching, but I, you know, coordinated it. It was his Mother's Day gift.
What do you mean
her.
You coordinated it?
I went out and bought the mulch, told him what he needed to do, what needed to be mulched. It's his mother, not mine. Paid for the mulch.
Don't you think, and let's just get into this a little more detailed here.
Please.
Because don't you think that ultimately if it's going to be a gift, and I use that with air quotes.
Right.
Don't you think that the gift would be she wakes up. And you haven't told her about it, and she'd go outside in the daylight and see, look what we did yesterday.
Yeah, but I think
and look
that
at,
would
look at your beautiful yard.
I think that would involve like mulching at night for it to actually be a surprise.
So was she away at all during the day on Saturday?
She was gone all day babysitting.
Yeah, but we did. We went out. We got the
Wait
mulch.
Wait a minute. What do you say to that? You just went, yeah.
Well, it was never the plan to do it on Saturday.
But
it was a Mother's Day thing.
But don't you get that that would have probably been... No, a Mother's Day thing is wake up in the morning and look what I have for you or look what I've done for
Mike,
you.
Mike, I did look what I have for you with the Mexican omelet. That was the look what I have for
but
you.
But you had said last week that your Mother's Day, and you had made it sound really special, that you were going to get the yard. She has wanted the yard
on
to look good.
On Mother's Day, yes. On Mother's Day, we were going to do
gift.
That. It's not. I believe it is. And she
well,
is.
No,
a,
I mean, but
she
but
thought it was a gift. She was very
well, she,
happy.
Obviously,
with it.
She didn't. She
no.
Didn't react
she was
the
happy
way
with it,
to.
But she didn't react because when she saw the mulch, you know, waiting to be spread, she said,
no.
"Oh yeah, okay. I guess you're doing that."
I don't blame her.
Well, the mulching got done. It looked sensational. All right, and it was to me disappointing. All right, I can't apologize.
Is what? There any chance that she saw the pile of mulch and thought that she was supposed to lay it out?
No
that
chance.
Just the mulch was her
no
present?
Chance of that at all. No chance of that at all. So all of this is going to and understand, Mike, I understand that I am selfish. I have gotten to a point in my advanced age where when I give a gift, it's really not about getting gifts. It's about seeing people light up when I give a gift. And so I also said, you know what? We're going to sand those chairs down and get them sealed. And I want you to see something. Now, the thing that leads up to this.
Once again, an activity should have happened on Saturday.
I agree, Mike. You're so right, as always.
No, I'm not trying. No, why do you disagree with that?
Because the fact that it's getting done.
Look at these chairs. And she walks out on Mother's Day and goes, oh, I'll be able to sit and have my coffee in these brand new finished chairs.
Mike, the very fact that it happened is
I'm not anybody to talk. I didn't do dick on Mother's Day because she got a puppy last week on her own.
That's true. So you could have gotten her a trophy, best mom ever.
You don't have to. She said, don't worry about doing anything. For Mother's Day, I have my gift for Mother's Day is this wonderful.
Did you get her a card at least?
Nope.
Wow, no. You fell into that?
No, she didn't care. She was, the joy of the dog. Carla does not necessarily BS me about stuff like that. So when she says that,
right.
I got it. And the condition I was in on Saturday night did not necessarily allow for me to, do anything special. But at the same time, I ended up making a beef dish all day, a 3-4 hour dish that I prepped and cooked for her.
Was it your bourguignon?
No, but it was close to it. It was another beef thing. Same thing that I made the last time.
So the other thing leading up to this was the lights that I had put under our deck. Just to understand how my house is, it's a narrow townhouse, right? And then there's a deck at the back off the main level. And then at the basement level, there's a patio under the deck. So
and razor wire.
And of course, razor wire and landmines. So just stay off the grass. Please.
Oh, I have to play it for me too if I said that. Yeah, I made a lovely beef dish that was enjoyed by the family.
So weeks ago, and Mike, this will actually count as a Mother's Day gift on your chart. I hung these lights, these little lights, the size of a golf ball. And there's strings of them, and I lined the underside of the deck with them, lovely draped. I had to run wires.
When did you turn them on? Did you turn them on Mother's Day?
Wait.
Because otherwise it's not a Mother's Day gift.
I understand, Mike. At least 2 weeks ago, I had checked them for bulbs. I bought replacement bulbs. I hung them with wire hangers. I hid
probably
wires.
More like a Cinco de Mayo gift then.
Well, Mike, we don't observe. Not anymore. I'm sober now. Okay. So
can we cut
all
to
of
the
this?
Chase here?
Yes.
Your word's sounding
well, you
me a
keep
bit.
You keep interrupting.
You,
so
you didn't like
stay
the reaction
out of the way.
She gave you. She didn't like the reaction.
The thing I had you had these like up for reaction. 2 weeks, and these are up hidden up in the sort of up in the sky up under the deck. And so if you're not looking for them, you might not see them if they're not on, right? Especially if I've hidden all the wires. Okay. So I said, after breakfast, come down. I want to show you your other Mother's Day gift. And I went down and opened the door and went. I installed a switch for these lights, an isolated switch, and I clicked them on. We have it so you don't even have to have the porch light on. You can just have the lights on. And they lit up. And she says, oh, yeah, I saw those a couple weeks ago. I said, why didn't you say anything? She says, well, I assumed it was for Mother's Day and you wanted to surprise me. And I said,
okay,
why
so she knows
would
you.
You wait 2 weeks and then tell me you already knew it? If you wanted to act surprised on Mother's Day.
Yeah,
do
but
it.
See, she's like Carla. She has that chip that doesn't allow her to BS.
But still, if she BS'd for 2 weeks, why couldn't she act surprised on Mother's Day? Because that's what she was preserving. I would have been okay.
Was there an attitude when she said that?
No,
that
just generally. She says, oh, they look so pretty. It's so nice. I can't wait. But I knew about them.
That wasn't satisfying for you.
No, I wanted her to be. If I was operating under the impression it was going to be a surprise, I wanted it to be a surprise.
How do you think she found out about it?
She looked up, but she didn't say anything. She never said a word.
I'm having trouble siding with you on this one.
I don't really care.
I know, but I mean, you're angry, but you didn't spread the mulch out. You put the thing in the other thing in like a month ahead of time. And then, it's like, you don't expect her to go crazy. You know, I think it's gotta be,
I'm just saying
the day of the breakfast is fine.
Thank you.
That was a 20 minute effort that was probably well,
but I think she should have, if she was going to preserve the illusion of surprise, give me that 1 ounce of satisfaction.
Oh my God, look at these lights.
See, that's it. That's all I wanted.
I would have done that.
Thank you, Mike.
If I was your wife, I would have done that.
Well, Mike, some people have said.
I'm more inclined to think if she didn't know and you didn't think she'd know about the lights, that was a cool deal. And lights for, in my house, same thing. If I did a light feature outside, Carla would probably be pretty jacked up. But she knew that was happening. But
right.
what I'm more concerned about, who would get excited about stinky, stanky bags of mulch out in front of the house?
She loves
on Mother's
it that it's
Day
spread
morning.
Now. She loves it. She's delighted. All right.
How long did you finish it that day? Did he finish it that day?
He spread all the mulch we bought. We've got to do 8 more bags.
You haven't finished the job.
I haven't
finished it. I rest my case. We have
hold it. No, Mike, yes. There's one more key element.
What's the one more disappointing Mother's Day?
Do you remember the one thing she asked for to eat was the banana
new
pudding,
husband?
Right? No, Mike, it's 30 years. She's gone with that. She doesn't
all
care.
Right, okay.
But the banana pudding, after she finished dinner, which was great, by the way, fresh
dinner
broccoli.
Dinner or the banana pudding?
The dinner was great. It was fresh broccoli and garlic shrimp over pasta. And she finished it and she says, I said, are you ready for dessert? She says, yeah, I'm kind of full. I guess I'll have some tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
And okay. Then
all right. Well,
Monday came.
Yeah.
And Robert had some of the banana pudding, said it was delicious.
Uh-huh.
She got home a little too late to have dessert last night, so no dessert. So here it is, Tuesday after Mother's Day, and she still hasn't even tasted the thing I made.
I'm so sorry.
And, Mike, I went full tilt. I even used a blowtorch on my meringue.
That's fair. Way to go, Alton. That's good. Congratulations on that.
But you know
I'm happy
what?
For you.
Today I'm happier because pretty soon comes Father's Day and then everything's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we have to have our annual discussion of how that is a non-issue in everybody's house. That's the way that rolls. But
eat your pudding. You can't have your pudding if you don't eat your meat.
That's right. Or shrimp. Or whatever the pasta was. I'm sure it was delicious. If you have some killer ink, you need Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare. Mad Rabbit creates simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. It was founded by two friends who love tattoos. Their hero product, the Tattoo Balm, B-A-L-M, revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with clean and natural ingredients. And it's effective on both new and old tattoos and all skin types. Julia has it. Our man Oz uses the stuff as well.
There it is.
I got it right here.
That's it. That's Mad Rabbit.
Julia puts it on right after she texts Carrie Happy Mother's Day and doesn't do anything else.
Oh, my God. Throwing your daughter under the bus. I can't believe it. They've got all the products at Mad Rabbit. All the products you need from sunscreen, soothing gel, lotion, more. Now is the time to try out Mad Rabbit. They preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use promo code TMOS25, you'll get 25% off. Pay attention. That's a different code. 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use our promo code TMOS25, Rob Spiewak.
Look at the Kraken. He's covered in mulch.
Unspread mulch.
Bags of black mulch from your local Lowe's dealer.
Happy Mother's Day. Have you noticed your favorite celebrities losing followers on social media? I don't pay attention to that type
of thing. I don't follow
celebs,
no.
Well, it is possible that they have been targeted by the blockout.
What?
It's a social media movement to punish celebrities who aren't using their influence to speak out about what's going on in Gaza.
Okay.
I'm smelling a rat on this. I do.
All right, let's hear it.
I feel like
let's
there's something hinky. Selena Gomez, Zendaya, Drake, Justin Bieber, the Kardashians, even Taylor Swift have been put on block lists that are circulating online. The movement was started by a TikTok user named Lady From The Outside. Like what, Russia? After seeing the decadence on
display. That's Carrie. That's Carrie's handle.
This was started after seeing the decadence on display at the Met Gala last week. Okay. She said, quote, "It's time for the people to conduct what I want to call a digital guillotine, a digitine, if you will. It's time to block all the celebrities, influencers, and wealthy socialites who are not using their resources to help those in dire need. We gave them their platforms. It's time to take it back, take our views away, our likes, our comments, our money. Believe it or not, the campaign might be working." Lizzo started posting videos about Gaza after ending up on the block list. Of course, people are now criticizing the timing of her videos. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I don't know whether it's a thing, whether
knee
it's a
jerk on Lizzo's. I think that's a knee jerk on Lizzo's part. And also, if you look at the people that they're targeting, yes, they have lots of followers. And maybe I'm painting with a broad brush here. But do you think Justin Bieber's followers are really the people that are going to make a difference in that situation? I think they're following it.
The entire movement about what's happening with Israel and Gaza has been a surprise to me, but because it skews younger than me, mm-hmm. and because I think that I am more aware of the history and what's happened to the Jewish people, I have a different perspective on it, although I do not approve of all the crap that's going on in Gaza. They have gone too far. Most reasonable people would tell you they've gone too far. What has surprised me is the groundswell of support. We talked about it a little bit.
Yep.
We've also addressed the subject that it might be coming from outside influences. You never know.
I think oftentimes it is. I
go back to the original catalyst for all this crap, which was a massacre that happened in Israel when people just came over the borders and were killing women and children. But now, with the attack on Gaza, they're killing women and children as well. It's gone on and on and on and on. You have a very warlike cabinet and president and prime minister in Israel. So I understand from all sides. What surprises me is college graduations being canceled.
This is the thing that really gets me.
Police removing demonstrators.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that. I really am.
If not for free speech, we would not have a job. So you know I'm a supporter of free speech. But I think free speech does have its limitations. And when your demonstrations are significantly changing what is due as far as privacy or safety for others around you,
If you're a Jewish kid on campus and you're feeling like your safety is compromised, that's a problem.
That's a big problem. That they think that the way to cause to improve the situation is to get a graduation shut down, that's not cool. It's so bad. These poor kids.
The thing that I get back to is that I get the reason people would be passionate about going on over there. I think it's horrible that women and children are being killed over there, over this. I think that, you know, when you talk about the balance of what happened in Israel to what's happened in Gaza, I think, it's certainly gone beyond what a lot of people thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the idea that on college campuses, where I really, for the longest period of time, I've thought there's been a level of empathy, this is the hill people are dying on, it still surprises me. I haven't researched enough. We'll have to wait and see what's happening. Let's talk to something that's right in my wheelhouse.
Thank you, Mike, Judy. Finally.
Judge Judy Scheindlin, Naples resident, lives right down the road.
No kidding. You should send her a muffin basket.
I should. She is suing the National Enquirer and In Touch Weekly for defamation, and she wants them to pay big time. Both publications ran a story claiming that Judy was trying to get a retrial for the Menendez brothers, who are both in prison for murdering their parents.
35 years ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Judy says there's absolutely no truth to it. Here's her quote. "When you fabricate stories about me in order to make money for yourselves with no regard for the truth or the reputation I've spent a lifetime cultivating, it's going to cost you. Don't pee on my leg and tell me that it's raining. Come on."
You know what? I'm shocked those rags are still in business, even in an internet format. I was at the grocery store with Robert, and I mentioned something, and I mentioned the tabloids. He says, "What's a tabloid?" I mean, they just aren't in the public's vision anymore. We used to subscribe to all of them.
Judy goes on to say, when you've done it multiple times, it's unconscionable and will be expensive. It has to be expensive so that you will stop. No word exactly on how much she is suing for. We will have to wait and see about that. But you're right. It was 35 years ago. She's trying. As I said, this came across my desk today, so I have no idea.
I don't know. Judy.
Judge Judy Scheindlin, ladies and gentlemen. Fans of The Office have been wondering if any of the characters will make an appearance on the upcoming spinoff series. Sadly, you can count Michael Scott out. Steve Carell says, since the show is a new thing, He doesn't see a reason for Michael to show up. He's excited to support and watch it, though, with TV.
Mike, he'll show up as soon as the ratings are low.
And as soon as it's if it's a big hit.
And he might do that too.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Here's the quote. It sounds like a great conceit. I love the idea. I worked with Domhnall Gleeson, who is one of the leads. I did the 2022 series The Patient with him, and he's an excellent actor and a super nice guy, so I think it'll be great. The spinoff will be a mockumentary about a Midwestern newspaper. That slug line for it, a Midwestern newspaper, it leaves me a little cold. I mean, newspaper.
A lot of the Midwestern jokes have been used up in 8 seasons of Parks and Rec.
Yep.
Another thing from their company. So we'll see
what
happens.
Show doesn't have a title even yet, but
it does have a title. They named it Raw Milk.
Raw Milk. Yes, sir. Oh, I get to do it again. Sorry. Where's my wretch? Get me my wretch, please. Thank you. I don't know why I'm addicted to that sound today. Let's move on, please. Fashion is a roller coaster, and you can tell how old someone is by looking to see where they hopped off. You hopped off in what? When would you say you hopped off the fashion roller coaster?
When was I ever on it?
You probably never were.
I never was.
The latest buzz, and I don't like this buzz on social media, says that Gen Z has officially killed ankle socks. As a Floridian who plays golf, I am here to tell you the ankle socks are a staple.
I love them.
Thousands of them. To prove it, one TikToker says you can go to the gym and you will see a ton of millennials wearing ankle socks, but no one wearing ankle socks under 30. The Gen Zers prefer crew socks. Which I think it looks dorky when
like
I see it.
Like the old basketball socks?
Crew socks. They go up on the calf.
Well, if I'm wearing long pants, I will wear compression socks, which go up higher.
And short pants as well. It's a
good
look
for you. And short pants
as
well, and short leather pants. But
Gen Zers prefer crew socks, which go up a little further, mid-calf. I use it almost as an identity badge for the nerds and the older golfers when they
100%,
wear crew socks. And I'm trying to think now if I've seen anybody yet. Well, this is under 30.
Yeah.
So there are not a lot of those people out there anyway. And most of the,
I got a beautiful picture in my head of Larry Bird with socks up to his knees with 2 thick green stripes on them.
So keep your eyes peeled this summer when you see kids with shorts on if they're wearing the crew socks.
But don't look too closely because you'll probably get a sign put in your yard.
And by the way, there are the ankle socks, the crew socks. Then there are the socks that have just a little bit of the sock. Those are the ones I wear. And then there are the ones that literally are invisible socks. That are used by people.
And then there's the other option, which I use, especially in the warmer months. I wear tights.
You wear Birkenstock sandals.
I do, but never
with
socks.
What are you
wearing
on your feet now? Are you barefoot now?
Of course I'm barefoot. I love to be barefoot.
That's so nasty.
Birkenstock's very close to being barefoot. That's why
I know.
Nice.
All right. So that's that. We've covered
no
that.
Show no show socks.
No show socks. Crew socks, yuck. Finally today, passengers traveling on a British Airways flight recently were left startled and disgusted. As a man and a woman engaged in a sex act beneath a scarf. A 26-year-old passenger named Farah. For those of you who are as old as I am, you'll know that name.
Farah
said it was quite obvious as an adult what they were doing. Folks on the plane, which was packed with passengers, including children, reportedly complained about enduring the couple who were, quote, constantly at it for several minutes. The incident occurred during an early morning flight between London and Dublin.
Yeah,
another woman who was with her mother said, I was turning to look at my brother every time I was speaking, and then I saw a lot of sort of vigorous movement in the other seats on the other side.
Gross.
British Airways spokesperson said, our cabin crew colleagues were not alerted to any issue on board. Now, here's the question I have for you.
Yeah.
You're not alerted, but if you are walking up and down the aisles, and wouldn't this
you
have been obvious
yeah.
to you?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether it's necessarily always on the passengers to put themselves in the uncomfortable position of saying, you know, row four is vibrating.
Exactly. Moving along.
So the BA says, British Airways says, had they been informed, they would have taken the appropriate step to address it. And the British Airways method of stopping this involves a scarf removal followed by a pitcher of ice water.
Oh, okay.
And then it's all done, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not how they handle it on Spirit Air, though.
No.
In Spirit Air, they hand you an air travel sickness bag.
There it is. We will take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have my son and his clothing advice to me that confuses me. We'll be right back on the Michael Merritt Show. 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime. They need Nutrafol, a clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. You don't have to choose between hair growth and your health. Nutrafol's drug-free whole body approach promotes hair growth from within. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com/men for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. You can purchase it online with no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months. We've seen it work, and it's the real deal. Nutrafol, the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Take the first step to visibly thicker hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and a free shipping or free shipping when you and the free shipping when you go
to
Nutrafol.
So good.
.com/men and enter the promo code TMOS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men. Enter the promo code TMOS. That's Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code TMOS. Before we get to my little thing and my son, who occasionally gives me a complex, I would like to explore the science of beer. Now, on Saturday night's program, I enjoyed my Guinness. Then on Sunday, I made a Guinness stew, which used Guinness as the base. And so I'm a big consumer. I do that when I'm bowling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fascinated anytime beer comes up because I'm back to, you know, drinking stout, which is a form of beer. And you came in like a couple of days ago and said there's something about beer you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't drink beer anymore, but I did
drink a lot.
You don't
drink anything anymore except soda pop.
Well, no, I drink a lot of water, too. But when you drink...
I meant that. You don't drink alcohol anymore.
I don't drink any alcohol. But when I did, I was a sucker for an ice-cold beer. It had to be really cold. To this day, I love cold beverages. And I just thought it was me. But it turns out that when beer is chilled to a certain temperature, the molecules actually shift in a different way to make it taste better. And with warm beer, you don't taste it as much. This is so neat. As a rule, don't you think if you went up to anybody and said, do you like your beer cold? They say, yeah, cold beer is better, right?
No, I would say, do you like your beer cold? And they say, no, give me a nice hot one. Just like out of the cow's
Mike, now that you can't say.
Why not?
We have to say teat.
Does it have to be teat?
It does.
Teats up.
Thank you, Mike.
That's what it is. So, teats up, ladies and gentlemen.
So the alcohol in beer is essentially ethanol, which also sounds a little upsetting because that sounds like something you would use maybe to keep your car clean or to make sure your windows die nice.
Well, it could be worse. The alcohol in beer is methane.
Oh, that would be the bubbles, I think.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
So when you chill beer...
Do you ever have Egg McMuffin?
Sometimes, Dad, or cheese prunus.
Can you say Egg McMuffin?
Egg McMuffin, yeah.
Cheese Prenish.
Mm-hmm.
So
cheese Prenish.
when you chill the beer, the ethanol molecules actually are arranged in sort of a pyramid shape. And because of that, beer is slightly bitter but also sweet. And when that happens, you get pronounced sweet tones over the bitter tones, making your beer more pleasant to drink. Isn't that neat? That it actually is some science behind it, that the molecules shift to change the flavor of your beer. The key temperature for an average beer, 41 degrees, and that's about the temperature of the inside of your fridge, except if you want to talk about kitchen safety, your fridge should always be sub 40 to make sure your food is safe. So if you take a beer out of a properly chilled fridge and give it a minute, it's going to be 41 degrees.
I know that when – I'm not sure if I've ever consumed it overseas, but I'm told that when you go into a pub –
yeah,
in Ireland, they'll serve it at room temperature. That it
now,
won't
I've
be,
heard
it
that. That's and now, does that have to do with the tradition of the pub not having refrigeration back in the
I
day?
I have no idea, but I know that over there, they don't serve it like the cold beer thing is more over
yeah.
there. I'm not sure if it's other lagers. I think it's more, even in Europe now, if you go to Ireland or England, we've become a smaller planet. So I think
sure.
cold beer is served everywhere you go. But I think stout in particular, and there was a great video, I forgot who posted it, I should have given him credit, of a lady at a bar in New York. It might have been Fried that did that. I'm not sure. That mm-hmm. shows the proper way to pour a Guinness. And it's like a three-step process.
It takes a
sure
while,
that
right?
You put the well, it doesn't take – yeah, longer than pouring a regular beer.
Right.
But that's stout, which isn't the regular cold beer. And it because of it's a different property, it might taste a little better than that. And then there's the – look, the swill that we all drink, like
sure.
your light beers from Bud and from
yeah.
Miller and all that.
That new light beer from Miller, Mike.
the brand new. There's a great, the funniest, absolute funniest line. A buddy of mine. We'd anytime, and this is my friend Z. Z, I'm giving you a shout out on the show today. Z would go into a bar, and every single time we were in a bar, and the server would come over, and so what can I get you guys? And everybody would order their drinks, and he would say, "I'd like to try one of those new light beers from Miller." Loved it. I laughed every time because I'm an idiot.
So great.
And it was wonderful the way they did that. I'll try one of those new light beers from Miller. But
you're
no,
right,
beer,
Mike. The swill we drink is hardly, you know, it hardly matters, I think.
Well, apparently in the United States, and I'm working off memory here, the sales of Guinness have gone through the roof recently. That they're like, and I started doing this because my mates that I played golf with, there were tons of Guinnesses that would be circulating. That was the beverage of choice that they had, and then I've grown accustomed to it, and now there's a case of it in my refrigerator, which was severely depleted on Saturday night.
It is it has less caloric than a lager, I think.
I'm not sure what the Oz, look up what the calories in a pint of Guinness are, because I'd be very curious about that. I know a light beer would be, or a Michelob Ultra or something, be about 90
degrees.
Calories, 96,
96
calories,
yeah.
210.
Like, oh my God, no wonder I gained weight over the
but
weekend.
But I think it's less caloric than like a full leaded Budweiser. I think it actually is a little less caloric.
Is 210 is less caloric than a Budweiser?
I think because
you shouldn't be thinking about beer. You should be thinking about.
I think about it a lot, Mike.
A traditional Budweiser is 192.
Ah,
okay.
So
I misspoke.
So perhaps that's the myth that they're creating about. You know what they used to say? The slogan in Ireland used to be Guinness. It's good for you.
Yeah.
Or it's healthy, or it's something like that. When it's really not.
That sign is up in my doctor's office.
It's good for you.
But the big takeaway here, Mike, is make sure your refrigerator is under 40 degrees and your freezer is under 0 degrees. That way your food will stay safe.
You know, if you were still imbibing, and I wouldn't want you to ever, but if you came down to the Casa, you remember that refrigerator I've got here in the garage that is filled with a wonderful, delightful variety of ales and vodka seltzers
and
all of that.
It's one of the greatest things when you are a person, when you reach the ability to have a garage fridge that is just for beverages. That is one of the greatest luxuries.
I wanted to check in with John Daly. It had a
what,
viral video.
Is this a wellness check?
No, he is selling a vodka cocktail now.
Everybody
is. And his first one looked like, seriously, they came out to him and said, talk about yours compared to High Noon. And his first video, he comes out, he goes, F High Noon. I want to tell about, and I'm looking at it right now. It's called Good Boy. There it is. I have not seen it in grocery store. Believe it or not, I've been looking for it. I've been looking for it because John Daly is an
I'm sure if you go to
so
the website, goodboy.net or whatever, they will tell you where you can buy it. Might not be legal in your state. Who knows?
All right, John, let me see. There it is. Nice can with his signature on it. Not
hey,
John Daly's
nice
butt.
Can.
There it is. John Daly cocktails. Let's see the John Daly cocktails. A little lemonade, little vodka. That's good. And there's the map. We've got the John Daly map of where you can get it. He's putting it in there.
The
as
John
we speak.
Daly map. It actually
that's the
just
John
lights
Daly
up
vodka map.
All right, of the on. Bars.
I'm looking at this now. Looking at it a little bit larger. Good Boy vodka
iced tea. Vodka iced tea lemonade and
no, don't alcoholize. Don't alcoholize an iced tea. That's gross.
But no,
looks like at Walmart.
They have it at Walmart.
Why is that funny?
That is the closest place to my home.
That's the closest place to my home, too, because we live in Florida. We're going to go get John Daly booze.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, it was not in Publix this weekend because I was looking for a new seltzer.
Okay, so see, you too were intrigued by the John Daly commercial. And then the next one he did was much more
friendly,
mainstream.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it was. He wasn't saying F, you know, F True Blood or whatever the hell that other stuff
High
is.
High Noon.
High Noon.
True Blood.
I don't know why I would say that. It's Good Boy Vodka, the John Daly cocktail, iced tea, and lemonade cans.
Mike, the good news is if you go to Walmart, not only will they have that, there is a pretty good chance you will also see John Daly. He might be there.
At the Walmart. I'm thrilled at that. Yum, yum. Enjoy. I'll put on my crew socks, and I'll get right over there.
We never got
you.
To your son, Mike.
We'll do that when we come back. He's training now. He is. He is actually training, and I'll tell you who his trainer
is when
we come back.
You know what's great for training?
What's
raw
that?
Milk.
Raw milk and a John Daly cocktail. That's what I'll feed my son. Hey, everybody. Summertime, hot weather requires extraordinary hydration. I'm drinking it right now. You know what it's called? You know what it's called. It's Liquid IV.
Love it.
It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. The secret is LIV, L-I-V, HydroScience, the science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration.
Mike, for people that are just listening to the audio, they need to know that was not a sound effect. That was actually you drinking that.
I did. It's a zero-sugar hydration solution with no artificial sweeteners, clinically tested to hydrate more than water alone, and I love it. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order. Shop better hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. I am thrilled at a new development that I've been noticing. Mrs. O'Mara is out in the backyard 5:30 Monday through Friday after my kid comes back from school, does his homework, hangs out on his computer a little bit, sometimes has his Spanish class. 3 times a week he has that. And she is in the backyard and has made it fun because he's going out there willingly, and she is training. They're having they have like a 45-minute exercise situation out there, and they do it every day. Carla is an obsessive worker-outer. She works out all the time. Sometimes she goes to the gym. Sometimes she does it here, but she does it all the time. And he says to me over the weekend, Dad, I want to throw the football because you're going to notice that I'm throwing it better. And I'm talking about leg lifts and push-ups and everything. He throws it into my hands. He is snapping the ball in there. The strength increase is something to behold. I love that. I love that he's doing that. I think 10 is a great age to start on that journey. And watching him do this with her is just, it makes me feel good. And the kid likes sports, and he wants to stay in sports. So why not get a little leg up on the competition?
That's that upper body strength will really benefit him in everything. Like, I mean, you need it to be a pallbearer.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. Why don't you go finish that mulch that you haven't finished yet? The incompleted mulching Mother's Day job.
I did not say I would mulch. I said I would get it mulched, and I will.
You never indicated until today that you had nothing to do with it. Did you load the mulch into the car? Did they load it in for you?
Yeah, I loaded it in.
Did you unload it into your yard?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
And then your son's going to do the spreading.
Yeah, it's more than half done. Know that. We've done 12 bags. Well, he's
happy Mother's
bags.
Day. Getting back to what I was going to tell you about is that he says to me this Thursday, and thank God finally they do an afternoon event at the school and not at 8:30.
Hey, that's
when
great,
we're doing
though.
Our work here. I'm very happy. They are going to honor the kids that were involved in the Character Council. And that was back at the beginning of the school year. I was telling you about that. And
what character did he do again? Was it Arnold?
He gets up there and he's actually doing a mean Christopher Walken. I say, I'll be damned if they're going to put me on Character Council. So the Character Council, primarily their responsibility is a couple of times during the week or a couple of times every 2 weeks, they will greet kids, the new kids, the other kids, and they'll open doors and they'll help the teachers out. And by and large, they have meetings to discuss what things can be done to improve the behavior modification at the school. I'm not articulating this very well.
Are they still using the electrodes?
Electroshock therapy. Is it? Bite down on the stick, Michael. Bite down on the stick.
To be fair, they are extraordinarily well-behaved.
The character count. I'm such a dumbass. I should be a better father.
No,
I'm
no. What the Character Council does is they pry their eyes open, and they make them watch movies about students.
No,
properly.
This is not a Clockwork Orange.
And then
thank you for Michael's that reference
job,
to a 1960s movie.
Michael's job is the eye drops.
Watch a new movie. That's my advice to you.
Yeah,
this
okay,
weekend,
Hollywood.
Watch a
make
brand
a
new
make
movie.
A good movie. I'll watch it.
So. He's getting honored. When I say honored, they're going to acknowledge these kids on Thursday. It's 1:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that the birthday thing? Oh, nope. It's another date that's down the road. He will be honored down there. This Thursday, Dad is responsible for going into school because for all the kids that have summer birthdays, they celebrate their birthdays in the school on a particular day. Michael's is going to be May 16th. And so I have to bring in treats for all three classes.
His actual birthday is June, right?
July 19th.
July 19th. I knew it was in the summer. Yeah.
Mine is June. That's the beginning of birthday season.
No, in case you're wondering. Birthday season still starts on March 8th. How dare
March
you?
March 8th. Very good.
Josh, when's your birthday?
January 26th.
I'm sorry that it falls outside of birthday season and outside of the holidays. No,
so it's 1:30. I'm going, and then that's the Character Council. And then this Thursday, I'm bringing in like 45 Krispy Kreme donuts. For the kids, because it's all three fourth grade classes and some leftovers for the teachers. And I wrote this down, what he said to me today. He said, Dad, when you, and I immediately overreacted in the negative, as I'm prone to do. He said, when you show up, will you please dress like Dad? And I said, what do you mean? He said, will you dress like Dad? I thought he was giving me a hard time. One time I went to lunch with him, and I was wearing like one of the synthetic T-shirts like we have, not the ones that we're selling on the website, but it was a
wicking
like a
material.
Greg Norman long sleeve tee, and I guess he didn't dig the look. He thought it was a little too cash, then he really liked it when I showed up with the school pants on, the long pants, and my crew socks. No. And he wants me to look a certain way. He went to school today. I haven't really zeroed in on what it's going to be, but I'm damn sure going to make it right for him and have him proud of the way I show up. Now, down here in Florida, everybody's borders on ultra cash. You just don't see the amount of business suits and jackets that you would see in a northern city.
I think you would be able to get through, you'd be able to really look, especially with your weight loss, you look great with a golf shirt, khakis, and you know what? Loafers, no socks. That's sort of what you look.
I will zero that in for him, but it did make me paranoid that he thought I was a schlub. Now, I've seen all the events where the dads show up, and there is a wide variety.
Sure.
You have guys that are wearing jackets and ties. You have guys that are wearing, look like they just got out of a workout center. You get guys that are wearing the golf attire. But I think that look you described, pretty much the long pants with the golf shirt is adequate. If he wants me to up the ante when I bring that in, and I'm excited to bring to celebrate his birthday, I show up for recess, not in the morning. This is recess, so it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 1:30 for the character counselor thing. That's another date. It's another date. They're two separate things. I got.
If it was an evening thing, you might need a jacket. But I think I wear my
best cocktail dress I was going to do that.
How many donuts are you bringing?
I probably 24, probably four dozen donuts.
48. That's not very many.
Well, that's because it's. What do you mean it's not very many? What are you going to eat in one setting?
Well, you know I can do it.
What do you mean it's not too many? 48 donuts is not too many.
For how many kids are you serving?
Three classes of like 20 kids.
60 kids. Well, you got to get at least 60
donuts. No, I'm sorry. 60 is 60. They're not 20. They're like 13, 12.
Okay, so
I don't know. Why are you making me say it's not enough? I'll bring enough donuts. I promise.
And are you going to bring just the simple rings, or are you going to get an assortment?
He wants the plain, do you call them simple rings?
I mean, I was just trying to explain it in such a way. They're just
the glazed donuts.
The Krispy Kreme donut. Yeah.
The standard Krispy Kreme donuts.
God, that's great. My family never brought me donuts.
Okay,
ever.
Thank you.
Maybe
thank
I should have tried harder to be in the character council.
God love him. He's a good little guy, and I will not be wearing crew socks. We will take a break, and we have the side coming up, and lots more fun and thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, and I have a headache, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you
just
don't.
Thought
you're fine.
I do. I really do. I have an effing headache. All right, listen up, everybody. I want you to discover the transformative power of DermGlow Skin for weight loss. Witness the results yourself. I've shed over 80 pounds, never felt better, except for the headache. DermGlowSkin.com streamlines the weight loss, ladies and gentlemen. They really do that for you. Simply take a quick quiz. They give you a quiz to see if you qualify, consult with a doctor, and then have your weight loss medication delivered directly to you. No insurance needed. Once you begin, expect continuous medical support, clinically proven ingredients, and tailored care, all supplies included, so you can start immediately. Don't hesitate. Time to shed up to 26% of your body weight. I'm living proof that it works. Stop the food noise and reclaim your true self. Get excited and reach out to Carla for any inquiries. She's dedicated to assisting you. DermGlowSkin.com. Let's go.
Julia.
The flip side.
Well, how about the flip side?
Mike, I play this because it's something you can relate to. It's something you once hate. In the course of a day, you hated it and then you loved it. Now, that being said, I must ask, did you ever do a senior prank when you were graduating high school?
No, that was not part of our deal. We did, the regular prom, and then we did what was called the prom. After prom, we did the beach day, where everybody went to the beach down in Rhode Island from Connecticut.
I didn't do a senior prank. I don't recall our class doing a senior prank, and I don't think my kids did one.
No, you did one. You did one when you told the principal of your school you were going to mulch the outside. And then you didn't.
Ha ha, joke's on him. But this is a great prank that you will like.
Okay.
Someone hired a bagpiper to follow the principal around school all day. This is the principal in the gray shirt. He's just following him down the hall.
That's cool. I love that.
Now another shot.
He could not be more awkward. He's following him out to the car.
Yep, exactly. That's There's awesome. No audio, but because they went to
the That's him out there. Fantastic. I have a funny story. My buddy Jerky on my bachelor party before my marriage to Carla hires a piper. And we were going to go to bars in D.C., which we did. We took the Fraternal Order of Police van. There was a piper in the back. I hadn't had any adult beverages when we went into the first bar. I could not have been more self-conscious. That's why I can relate to how self-conscious the principal was. And I was like, oh, my God, we've got this piper following me. This is ridiculous. By the end of the night, the last bar, I'm like, make sure my piper leads the way. It went full circle. That's also when we got to use the Fraternal Order of Police lights. And designated driver who wasn't my buddy Pete, who was driving, and a teetotaler like you. He was the designated driver. He said, please don't play with the siren, the lights, or the PA. And so the first gentleman's club that we arrived at, there was a lady that was standing next to her car on the street, and I went, beep, beep, ma'am, you're going to have to move that. Police, you're going to have to move that. We didn't get busted either, which is fantastic.
Someday.
We had a cop in the car, a DC cop in the car.
Someday I would love to have a PA in my car.
Oh, the
fun it could be.
Beep. With that thing, too. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, God.
You're going to have to move that, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, this is something I never say in May. Dateline Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Now,
what's going on there? I've been there a couple of times.
I know, but you know, that's where they do the Groundhog Day. And I feel that we should remind folks that when Groundhog Day started, they, at the end of it, ate the groundhog. That's my favorite fact about Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. But Punxsutawney Phil, remember they mentioned his wife was pregnant last?
I somehow have put that out of my mind. I did not remember that.
Last Groundhog Day. Well, the pups are here and they've named it. And so now we get to see these jackasses.
The pups are here and they've named what?
They've named the pups. They've named the baby groundhogs. And they made an announcement.
Well, it's all Phil, in case one of them
dies. No, these are different.
Right?
And Mike, let's go to the Old Crone News Network and see what they named them, okay? Here we go.
Not as big as Groundhog Day, but it was a special day in Punxsutawney as a groundhog club announced the names of the two groundhog pups that were born near the end of March. Tristan Kleinfelter traveled to Philsboro today and brings us the story.
The news is not about the weather, spring air or winter's chill. To little girl, Sunny, and a boy, Shadow.
Sunny or Shadow, a key of Punxsutawney Phil predicts an early spring or longer winter. And now the name of Phil's new children.
The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club is thrilled. The whole
goodbye.
Those guys that do that.
Their hats.
I know we've had alcohol too much on this show today. You know, they are either uber nerds or they are so loaded when they do that. You know, is born to Phil on this fine day to pups. And then that happened to be gay. That's right.
Look at Mike. Right. Look for all the news people on that clip to be on network news soon.
The anchor does not appear to be, she is either nervous or she is unhappy for some reason. Can you play that anchor one more time?
I would love to, Mike.
So we can see her.
I need to rewind here for that.
Can you freeze that? It's not a happy lady.
You know, she looks like she might be a Kennedy distant relative. Don't you think?
She is. This is a good day for video. Hey, look, folks, I know you're
sorry
like
about that.
She, too.
This is a haggard old
No,
crone.
Don't apologize. We have all elements on this show. We're looking at a picture of an anchor lady that does not look like she's enjoying herself. That's what it is. We'll try to explain it more to you people.
But run to your video source. And also, Mike, let's close with this. Is there anything stupider, more self-indulgent, or sort of a microcosm of the problem with society as gender reveal parties?
That's once again a new thing where they do that. The worst one I ever saw was that plane crash. That was horrible. Where he shot the.
What are you
don't
talking
laugh.
About?
Did you ever see that one?
No, that's a real thing.
We shouldn't laugh. It's not.
No. Well, that's horrible.
But it was a guy that threw pink smoke or blue smoke out of a plane, and then the plane crashed and it killed the pilot.
I had no idea. Okay, moving on. There was a. A gender reveal. Now, I can understand if you slice into a frosted cake that is pink or blue or something like this.
They do it all sorts of ways, some of them with ordnance.
Mike, this is a glitter reveal. And I think the most exciting thing about this is not the fact that, spoiler alert, it's a boy. It's the lady in the front row who got to really know it was a boy. He's going to drop a barbell onto the packets of blue. Now, wait until they do the other shot where you get to see the lady in the front row.
Oh, God.
She looks like a Smurf.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you know what I did? When I did my voice reveal.
What's that?
It was actually for my daughters back in the day, and I found out I was going to have a little girl. So I drank some pink glitter. And then when it was time for the reveal in front of everybody in the family, I did that. I'm sorry. I had to play it one last time. We got to get out of here.
I thought you put food coloring into raw milk.
If you get a chance, look up today. I don't know if we're going to play it or not on the show tomorrow. But
I can promise you we're not going to play it.
Plane crash reveal.
I will. That's shockingly sad.
I leave it to you to make your choice as to whether you do that.
You know what?
I think today, it might be worth your while.
Looking at both of us today, we look like a gender reveal.
Yes,
you're in pink
do.
And I'm in blue.
Yeah. No, this is actually purple. You must be. This is a violet.
Don't ruin it.
Okay, we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Want to thank the great and powerful Oz, Josh Soroka, for Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara, saying so long, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You are a blabbermouth.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.